Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It is Advent season, Southwinds Church. It is the season where we take time to remember and celebrate that what people anticipated for centuries, for generations, the appearance of a Savior, the appearance of a Messiah, the one who would come to save the world, that He has come, and His name is Jesus. And He is the very Son of God. And we remember that at Advent. And we talked last week about hope and how we have hope. Hope is only found in Jesus, and how hope can overflow from within us because of the Holy Spirit that God puts in our lives when we profess Jesus to be who He says He is. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. This is what gives us hope. This is why we come to a place like this every Sunday morning. It's why we can say, "I surrender my life." At the cross, where Jesus paid my debt, I surrender my life. Where we, when we sing about, "Oh, come, let us adore Him," that He is the one worthy to be adored. You know, we have a lot of really, I think I might be biased here, but cute babies and children at Southwinds Church, and we adore them, don't we? We adore them. They're precious, and they're life. And sometimes we look and we think, man, what God could do in this little one, how He could use them to change lives, how He could change their life if they'll trust Him. But when Jesus came into the world, this is the one who is worthy to be adored. This is the one who paved the way for people to follow in what we call believers' baptism. And, you know, we ended off last week by letting you guys know that our own Steve and Susan Booth, that they were in Cochrane last Sunday where they live and where their ministry is at the seminary there, where they train and equip leaders, 21st century leaders, for tough places, to serve God in tough places. Well, they were in. They worshiped with a church family in Cochrane last week because someone that God used Susan Booth to interact with on a walking trail in Cochrane, using a language that she learned when she lived in Budapest, Hungary, years ago, over 20 years ago, 20 years ago now, right? 20 years ago, a language that he had her learn. She interacted with this woman, and God brought forward the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus. And she was baptized last week. And Susan and Steve were there to celebrate with her. So we're glad you're back, and we are so thankful that you had that kind of a reason to be away from your church family last week. Advent. Hope. Advent is about hope, love, joy, and peace. And the person who brought all of that into the world, his name is Jesus. We call him the Christ, the Savior of the world. We're going to be in a book called Titus this morning. It was a letter that was written a long time ago. We call it a book. And if you have your Bible or if you have your device, I would invite you to turn there. And in just a little bit, if we can, I'd love to show a little video, if that's possible. But we're going to look in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And I want to lay a little foundation for you, okay? As we talked about hope last week, we talk about love this week. I want to lay a little foundation to you of where the people that are set in the context of the book of Titus. Now, Titus isn't the place. Titus is a person. The place where these people are, where this church is a place called Crete. Okay? And have you ever heard they're just a bunch of Cretans? Was it ever used in great context? Right? You heard that phrase and you said, boy, they must have been really good people, those Cretans. No, this is the church where God placed the good news of Jesus Christ, and there were some people within Crete that thought, man, what this is true. This has given me life. This has given me hope. And this is the love of God in action. Well, the church is in Crete, and this letter is being written to a leader of the church. It was a place under Roman control. Roman citizens were the only ones to have any sort of advantage or even rights. And even that kind of citizenship could be stripped away very easily. It wasn't like living in North America today, where if we're a citizen of a nation, then boy, it's hard for that to be revoked. It's not impossible, but it's hard. Well, that was a day where it wasn't just not impossible, but it wasn't hard. And, you know, that status was quickly and easily revoked, and Christians were not just on the outside of that type of culture or that society. Christians were targeted. It was not a socially advantageous thing to be a follower of Jesus in this place. In fact, the laws and the way that this place was governed was, from a Christian or a follower of Jesus' point of view, it may have been very immoral. It was actually the antithesis of everything Christian. There was debauchery everywhere. There was immorality everywhere. You were singled out because you followed Jesus, not in a good way, but in an antagonistic sort of way. This was a place where if Christians had the right to withhold love from the people around them, then these people maybe deserved it. If Christians or followers of Jesus had the right to say, you know what, I'm glad I have God's mercy, and man, I don't think you'll ever get it. And this may have been a place they could do that. If there was ever a place where followers of Jesus could say, you know, we need to really get some laws made here that force people to act morally the way that we act, that may have been a tactic of the people. But the writer, God is using the writer of this letter, Titus, to help remind his people who they belong to and whose love they have received, and in turn, whose love they must give. Because they don't reserve the right to withhold the love that they have received. Southwind Church, we don't ever have the right to withhold the love that we have received. And Advent is such a beautiful reminder for us that, you know, we are citizens of a different place. We're citizens of heaven. And we are temporary residents of this earth. It's kind of bizarre to think about. But, you know, there's some recent political history and things still going on in our neighbors to the south that can help remind us of what it feels like to be an outsider. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Now, let me also begin by saying, not only was it a tough situation for Christians to be in, but in the first three verses of Titus 3, God is using this author to remind his people, to remind the people of God, that they are his people, and at one time, they were outside of his family. There was a time that they need to remember, and remember well, that you weren't always covered by my grace and mercy because you hadn't chosen to receive the message of Jesus yet. And you were once a part of this culture that is really hard for you. It's hard for you to be around. It's hard for you to see it going the direction it's going. And maybe you want to legislate things in place so that you can force people to stop doing what they're doing, but you can't. He says, you need to remember that you were once there. And by my grace, I've changed you. And he says in verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy through the washing of regeneration. Or another way to say that word regeneration is rebirth, like a new beginning, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified, another way to say justified is made right, made acceptable, vindicated. Having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. And this saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. So God is telling us, now He was telling His church in Crete, And at the same time, he's telling us in Calgary, Okotoks, the surrounding area, wherever we're from, wherever we live, wherever we do life, we need to devote ourselves to the love with which God has loved us, to good works. When the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. This idea of the love for mankind, this idea is described in the Greek with a word that comes from a word called philanthropia. What word does that sound like that we use in English? Philanthropy, right? Philanthropist, exactly. That's where we get that word, philanthropy. And it has to refer to affection, the phileo, and refers to anthropos, or man, mankind. It refers to compassion. When the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love, His compassion for mankind appeared, He saved us. And this kind of compassion that we're talking about, that is referred to here in Titus chapter 3, it's a compassion that refers to an eagerness to deliver someone from pain, trouble, or danger. From pain, trouble, or danger. Now, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, do you remember that sense of God delivering you from pain, from trouble, from danger? That when we became aware of our sin, that we were in danger of living eternity, spending eternity separated from God? That's a fairly dangerous situation. Pain, when we've gone through and walked through pain in this life, even after deciding to become a follower of Jesus, when we walk through pain, who's the one that we go to for hope? Who's the one that we go to for joy in the midst of sorrow? It's this one who appeared. It's more than just an emotion of compassion, right? Because if God would have had compassion and just that tender feeling in His heart and then did nothing about it, nothing would have changed in this world. Hope would still be elusive for us. But this word that He used for love for mankind, it's more than just an emotion. It always, this word and this sort of compassion always finds a way to express itself in helpfulness. It expresses itself in helpfulness. That not only is my heart turned within me for this person, it's turned within me to the point that I am not going to just feel it. I'm going to do something about it. And I would venture to say that everyone in here has experienced where someone had that compassion within them. They saw something within us, and that compassion went past a feeling. It went towards helping us. Or maybe you can think of a time when God stirs something like that in you, when you had compassion for someone. And normally maybe you don't do this, but you had just had to step out and do something to help them. This is the type of emotion, this is the type of love that God's referring to here for His people. When the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done. It wasn't that God said, you know, man, they sure are messed up, this creation of mine, but you know, He's doing a really good job. She is really toeing the line. And so, He deserves my grace and mercy. She deserves my grace and mercy. She is really leading out in her family, and she's helping. She's helping her neighbors know who I am. So, you know what? She's good. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy. It was at the appearance of Jesus here on earth as a little baby that God's love, kindness, and grace was revealed. His love and compassion that stirred Him beyond a feeling that went to actually helping His people. His kindness and His grace. Grace is when we give something to somebody that they don't deserve. The purpose of Jesus appearing as a baby was to ultimately accomplish the sacrifice that would save lost sinners. what's every follower of Jesus, which what was once numbered amongst. Salvation is out of God's mercy. When someone shows us mercy, they are withholding something that we do deserve. Mercy refers to the need on the part of those who receive it, and sufficient resources on the part of those that meet the need who show it. When mercy is really shown, when mercy is really given, then there are two parties involved. There's those that need the mercy, and there's those that meet the need of the one who is shown mercy. And they have the sufficient resources to do it. And God had the sufficient resources. And the only sufficient resources were in His very own Son, who was with Him in heaven, where everything was good. Perfect, even. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. And God, in His love, compassion for people, sent His Son. Salvation is indeed out of God's mercy. Through the washing of regeneration or rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. What we read Romans chapter 15, verse 13, first thing this morning. If you were here last week, then you heard us talk about the Holy Spirit that God's given us. Are you sensing a theme here? That when we remember Advent, that when we celebrate the hope of God, the love of God, that it has to do with Him sending someone into this world. And then, when He had completed the work that He did, His name being Jesus, that it was always meant for God to send His Holy Spirit to dwell in and through His people? And that is the one, He is the one that gives us a new beginning, a new birth? That God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has been the one to show mercy, that has the ample and abundant necessary resources to provide for us, you and me, so that we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good work. That is, not distancing ourselves from maybe the culture around us or from those around us that, man, maybe we feel oppressed by them a little bit, or maybe we just think, oh, I try to love them and they just keep kind of pushing it back in my face. I don't know what the deal is, or they just keep kind of throwing these barbs at me. I don't understand. When we're tempted to say, you know what, I'm just going to withhold it. I'm going to withhold the love that I know God has shown me, but I'm not going to show them. You know, love is the title of today's message. And there's three things that I want to say. And then I want to watch this video. And then I have just a couple of thoughts to wrap up. Love is. Love is expressed in time taken. A few weeks ago, we talked here at Southwind Church about, you know, the only thing we need to really show and proclaim the good news of Jesus is Jesus Himself in a living room. And we talked about how, man, when we take time, to spend with people, to build a relationship with them, it's one way that we show love. And when we talk about love, love is expressed in time taken. I want to tell you, we have a four-year-old son, and his name is Theron. And many of you know Theron. And Theron is Theron. He's Theron. And you know, he's taken to this phrase lately, and he started it with his mom, which is the right place to start this phrase. But he loves to express himself, and he says, "Mom, I love you." She says, "Oh, yeah, I love you too, buddy." "No, Mom, like stacks and stacks of love." And then he trumps it, you know, and then he'll go, "Dad, 1,000,000,000 stacks of love, Dad." You know? Man, I'm telling you, he said that the other night when we're putting him to bed, and I just hugged him. And I hugged him so tight, and I thought, buddy, that I told him, buddy, that That means a lot to Dad. You have no idea. And then promptly said, Dad, you're squishing me. Like, you know, sorry. And then you lay him on his pillow and he said, you're making my cheeks, you know, like. Love is expressed in time taken. You know, it meant a lot to me for my son to just pause and say, I love you. Man, Southwinds, are we pausing? Are we taking the time to tell our spouse? Are we taking the time to tell your kids? Are you taking the time to tell your church family? I love you. And sometimes that stirs a little bit of weirdness in us. You know, like, is it okay for me to tell that person I love them? Well, if we're basing it on who God is in us and what God has done for us, it is absolutely appropriate. Men, it is appropriate for you to tell somebody you love them and them not to sleep next to you at night, okay? You can tell somebody you love them. God expressed his love when he sent his son into this world. He expressed his love, John 3:16. Many of you may know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? His one and only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's right. Pause. Love is expressed in time taken. Love is revealed in the presence of ugly. It's ugly. Don't raise your hands, but anybody else here have ugly in your life? If you have to raise your hand, you can. But you know, we got ugly. There's ugly here. Just saying. And when people look at me and Rachel and they think, well, yeah, there's ugly there because she's gorgeous. You know, like, no, like we have ugly. And other people have ugly. And love is revealed in the presence of it. That when my spouse, when we're not clicking on all cylinders, things aren't easy for us right now, love is revealed in that time. When we take the opportunity to say, I love you, and what can I do for you right now? How can I help you? How can I serve you? When we're at our workplace and ugly shows up, the love of God is revealed when we cut through the ugly. When as followers of Christ, we choose to see the ugly things of this world and say, God, I want to join you in bringing light and love to those ugly things. When I don't just turn a blind eye to it, or I don't just pad myself around it and insulate myself from ugly, love is revealed in ugly. You know, when God sent his very son, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but when God sent his son to this world, where did Jesus come from? He was in heaven with his heavenly Father. Now, Jesus wasn't created. He was sent. We say that all the time here. Because Jesus always has been, always will be. He was with God in creation. Spoke the world into existence. But when God sent his son into this world, I'm telling you, he entered ugly. And it was out of his love for this world that he sent him. And it is out of our love that God stirs within us that we enter into the ugly. Love is revealed in the presence of ugly. Love is shared indiscriminately. Now here's the part where you came to church to hear somebody say, you should love everybody. Well, thanks. Earth-shattering news. It may not be earth-shattering news, and is not easy. Love is shared indiscriminately. It lays with the hopeless, it sits with the hurting, and it stands with sinners. It lays with the hopeless, sits with the hurting, and stands with sinners. Let me read you a quote from Martin Luther. It says, according to Martin Luther, even from his birth, Jesus was standing with sinners. Here's what Luther writes. Christ is the kind of person who is not ashamed of sinners. In fact, he even puts them in his family tree. Now, if the Lord does that here, so ought we to despise no one, but put ourselves right in the middle of the fight for sinners and help them. You see where God's going with this? If out of God's kindness, when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by our works, by His mercy, His grace. It was available to us, and so it needs to be available to those around us. Love is shared indiscriminately. It lays with the hopeless, sits with the hurting, and stands with sinners. We talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus got in trouble all the time from the religious leaders for being around the people that had a reputation. He was around the people with a reputation. He sat at their table and had food with them, and He shared God's love in the midst of them. Southwinds, we need to find ourselves in similar tables. We need to find ourselves in very similar situations to that of our King. Because in this season, when we celebrate His hope, His love, His joy, His peace, all brought in through Jesus, it reminds us of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Braden, can you put up Philippians 3:20 for me? Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's promised that He's coming back. He's coming back, and we eagerly await His return. When we share love, we are sharing God with the people around us. And that love must accompany the good news of Jesus. Because it's not your love or my love that really affects or changes people. It is the love of God that He ushered in with the appearance of our Savior, Jesus.